Welcome to the September 26, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Grace to Grow. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That is the way I like it. Take a second and greet your neighbor. It is good to see everyone this morning. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. Way we do that, on the inside aisle of every pew, you will find a pew pad. This is a place for members and guests to write your name down. This is an opportunity to update any contact information you'd like for us to have. Check any boxes that are appropriate. And then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. That would be very helpful for us. We do ask, once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, that's helpful for us. Also, when it gets back to that first person who signed it, if you could tear out the pages that were used this morning, that will help us, our ushers, collect those at the end of the service. You'll find many of announcements, upcoming events, and opportunities for the week listed in your bulletin. I'll draw your attention to a couple of those. A reminder to our children, we are having children's celebration today. So after or during the second hymn, we're all going to go out these doors into Smith Hall. Parents, that's where you can pick up your kids at the end of the service. Also, this afternoon, we're very excited about the ordination service of our own Brian Edmonds. It will be today at 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We invite you to come and be a part of that service and then stay for reception following that in Smith Hall. Also today at 5:30, the youth will be getting together for their regular scheduled stuff. We're also very pleased to announce our own Marissa Morgan will be having her ordination council on October the 4th at 7 p.m. All ordained deacons are invited to participate in that, and we look forward to that service coming up very, very soon. 2 weeks from today, we are having Faith in Action on October the 10th. The entire church, after the 11 o'clock service, will gather in Smith Hall for a covered dish lunch, and then following that, those who are able and willing will spread out throughout our community to do various mission projects and have a variety of things that will be happening. We want to put our faith into action. So we hope that you make plans now to be a part of that day, October the 10th. Any other? Okay. All right. I think that's all the announcement. We have many other things listed, a full slate of activities this week, and so we encourage you to take a look at those. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we appreciate the information that you just gave to us on those pew pads a moment ago. But we would like to give something to you. So as a guest this morning, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you, give you a packet of information. You'll find a packet. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the history of College Park and the story, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's currently happening in the life of our church. So we are very blessed by your presence today, and we pray that God would speak to you in a mighty way as we worship him with everything that we have. And that's why we're here today. That's why we get up each day, not just on Sundays. But we should get up in a spirit of worship. But have you ever had those days, those weeks, But that just didn't seem possible. I'm just not in the mood. I just don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. I thank God every day that Jesus Christ had the strength and the energy to stay on that cross. For the days that I don't feel like worshiping Him, He stayed on that cross. He stayed on the cross willingly, lovingly. And for that, I find strength to worship. Let us prepare to worship Him. Will you pray with me? Father, as we have heard the choir remind us, and as we experienced in the recreation service this morning, let us sing to You with joy in our heart, Yahweh, our Lord, our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend, our Comforter, the One who gives us all that we need right when we need it. Father, we sing to you. Come into this place. We invite you into this sanctuary. The true and living God, live in us. Change us from the inside out, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Our scripture passage this morning comes from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, begin at verse 19. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. This is Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, this scripture from Hebrews is yet another reminder of the reasons that we are here. The reasons that you have created us. You have created us to be in your image as people created to be in relationship with you and to honor you and worship you. And you have also created us to extend that love and that relationship to our fellow man and to look outside ourselves and to reach others in your name. Lord, as you know very well, as our Creator, we have many selfish instincts, and a lot of our natural instincts are to think only of ourselves. A lot of what we learn from the world around us is to be selfish, to think of ourselves, to take care of us, and to only think about others as a last resort. Lord, please help us to turn that around as we look to you and seek you in our lives to live outwardly for others, to see how we can do good in your name by encouraging others, by sharing prayer when prayer is needed, by kind words when kind words are needed, kind deeds when they can be helpful to another, to share the love of Christ with others, and in doing so, to honor and worship you. Lord, you have taught us through our experience and what we've seen with our own eyes that miracles can happen. Hearts can be changed. People can be saved. Lives can be redeemed. Situations can be overcome. Lord, help us to use the gifts and the talents that you have blessed us with to serve you, to help others, to encourage them in your name to be who you created us to be. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us and sustaining us every day of our lives. Thank you for putting us in positions to serve, opportunities to put our faith into action every single day, to be encouragers, to be helpers, to be leaders, but most importantly, to be people who share the love of Christ with others. It is a gift, and not a gift that you gave us alone, but a gift that you have given the world. Help us to spread it in your name. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we are so grateful today for changing seasons and cooler air and the promise of rain. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. Now bless these gifts that we give back to you, that they will multiply the work that we can do for you in your kingdom. In thy name I ask it. Amen.
things that I hold on to. Come and fill my heart with you.
Summers, while I was at Wake Forest during the summer, my summer job was working at the Mountain Horticultural Crops Research Station in Fletcher, North Carolina. And what I did was basically grow plants. That's all I did all summer. We were dealing with native ornamentals. And in that area, in the western part of the state, it was primarily rhododendron, kalmia, flame azaleas, things of that nature. And what we did is we grew these little things from seed. And then when they got big enough, we transferred over them to pots. And then when the plant became mature enough to go to the field, we had a whole group of growers up there that we would go and we'd basically give them plants, quite a large value of plants, if you will. And in exchange for that, they had to agree to allow us to come back in and do soil samples with it and experiment a little bit with fertilizer. Now, we didn't burn up many plants because by the time they got to the field, we kind of had the parameters set on it. But what we found out was very interesting because at the time, all the rage was Osmocote fertilizers. You remember those? Osmocote. Now they've got several different names for them, but it was a coating that was put on the fertilizer where when you put it in the soil, it was a time release. Okay, it would react with the weather conditions and everything else, and it would release the fertilizer over a long period of time. That was all the rage, and everybody was convinced that we would find out that was the best thing to use in the field. Well, actually, it's found out it wasn't the best thing to use in the field. Because with time-release fertilizers, you're dependent on a lot of circumstances that you can't control. You can't, unless they have irrigation set up, which most of these growers did not, not by the time the plant goes to the field. So you can't control the rain. You can't control a lot of the circumstances around it. So what we found actually worked best with the ornamentals we were dealing with was topical application of fertilizer on a regular basis. You would apply it, you would water it in, come back a couple weeks, do the same thing over again. It was interesting in the 9 o'clock in the recreation service, there was a fellow visiting with us who was a horticulturalist. And he came up afterwards, he was saying, you know, that's interesting. And so we talked a little bit more. We got to talk shop talk, and I know people thought, I want a bunch of, you know, soil nerds. But it was really kind of cool to talk about some of those old fertilizers and what they've discovered since then. And it was a good conversation. But what I bring away from that is the fact that, you know, if plants need regular fertilizer, regular nutrition in order to grow, we know that, you know, as physical beings, we have to feed ourselves physically to grow, and most of us do it on a regular basis. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. All right. But why is it that we think we can go long periods of time without spiritual food? Wow. Boy, he started this one in a bummer. Why is it we think we can do that? Because we have to feed our spirit too. We have to feed our spirit. What type of nutrition is it that you're getting for your spirit? What type of nutrition are you taking in so that you can grow to be the masterpiece that God intended for you to be? You know, well, that's what we've been talking about. The last 2 or 3 weeks we've been talking about creating a culture, an environment, a soul, if you will, where we can all grow into more and more to be what God intended for us to be. A couple of weeks ago, we started with talking about the soil of grace, if you will. You know, a come as you are culture where, you know, people are reminded they don't need to fear judgment and condemnation. Why Christ died to set them free from that kind of fear if they're only willing to receive it and if we're willing to extend it. Last week we talked about the soul of authenticity, a culture that says no perfect people allowed because we understand there's no such thing as perfect people. We agree on that. It's a culture where we drop our pretenses and we're kind of brutally honest with God. We agree with God about the nature of who we are, and we're honest with one another because we recognize the value in community, the support of honest, good people that we can trust. That's what church should be. And there's another essential nutrient. We're going to talk about it today. It's called intentionality. You know, we need the soil of intentional growth. A culture that says, come as you are, yes, but don't stay that way. Come into the church, yes, however you are, but be prepared to grow some too. We saw a video in the recreation service about a man, and he's being interviewed, and he's talking about how he really enjoys the Sunday school class he's a part of because he really feels like he relate to them and blah, 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 and goes on and on. Well, then it pans back and he's sitting in, here's a grown man sitting in a class of first and second graders. And it's kind of comical because then he gets to say, you know, I really appreciate Miss So-and-so and how she brings the message down to my level and on and on and on he goes. And he says, you know, I wouldn't think of going to any other class. I've been in this class for 15 years now and I enjoy every minute of it. And, you know, and we laugh, but there's some truth there because sometimes as Christians, we're content to remain baby Christians, to eat baby food rather than to grow intentionally so with God's help so that we can begin to eat some of the spiritual steak, if you will, something that gives you more nourishment and really helps you to grow. You know, we all know that we're not quite where we need to be. We all know that we're not quite where we were intended by God to be, right? I mean, I think we understand that. We all know that if we're honest, we're not as selflessly loving as we should be. You know, we don't have peace or patience or compassion maybe as much as we would long for. Our self-control is often out of control. You know, we worry, we stress, we feel discontent about things that are completely out of our control. And we beat ourselves up over it later. You know, we often feel controlled by runaway lust or fears or jealousies. We would like to feel closer to God. We really would. We'd like to feel closer to God than we do. And we're not able really to consistently enjoy life. And therefore we make people around us miserable too. And if you're sitting there saying, well, none of that really describes me, let me tell you, congratulations. You have all A's on your report card. But before you go to Krispy Kreme to get your free donuts, you might want to ask the people around you. Because sometimes others have a little bit better insight into who we are maybe than we want to admit ourselves. We're not perfect. All of us have room for improvement. As one of my Christian ed professors at Southwestern used to say, this is deep now, you may want to write this down. People are like diapers. They need changing often and for the same reason. This is why we say, come as you are, but don't stay that way. Be prepared to grow. Be prepared to grow. God loves us as is. Agreed? God loves us as is. We can't earn His favor. We do not deserve it. He loves us as is. He accepts us as is by grace. But He loves us too much to let us go on floundering, to let us chase down dead-end streets, if you will. He wants us to grow. He gives us grace so that we can grow. It's my personal fear, it's my personal conviction that churches in America are missing the boat on this. They really are. This aspect of Christian living, growing, encouraging people to grow. I think we're content with entertainment that we label worship. I think that we have activity, just activity for activity's sake, no plan, no purpose to it. People in general, I think we've dumbed down so much that people in general, they love the come as you are grace. They can embrace that. Hey, amen, brother, yes. You know, come as you are. We're all about that. They like the no perfect people allowed authenticity. We think, we know, we understand. We need to be authentic. We need to be real with God. We need to be with each other. But the next step, the grow and change part, we go, I don't know about that. I'm not really sure about all that. We by our human nature, we long to be in a place where we can be honest. We do. We want to be ourselves. I think sometimes the fear is that if we're really ourselves, as we talked about last week, that people will kind of toss us aside. Or they'll go on without us. And we need to be where we can become more and more of what God intended us to be and have the support of brothers and sisters in Christ that will help us to grow. Let me give you a scripture passage or kind of reread it. Jason read it a little bit earlier in the service. This is scripture painting a picture of what this culture of growth looks like. And it's Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll be kind of reading through 22 through 25 again. It says, let us draw near to God. That's step one, by the way. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And you say, well, that sounds great, but here's the deal. We don't just drift into that. You know, that's not something that just happens naturally. It's something that must be intentional. This spurring one another on, you know, this meeting together, growing together, that's something that's intentional. It's something that we put into place through spiritual practices like exercising our spirit, through disciplines of scripture reading, through being together, worshiping together, praying together, the small group times that you spend. I'm going to insert a commercial here. If you're not in a Sunday school class, you really need to be. You really need to be. Because this is a wonderful assembly, and I love worshiping together as a large group. That's fantastic. But there's something that's incredibly valuable about small group Bible study. Can I get an amen from anybody? I mean, it really is. Being together and exchanging stories, getting to know each other and trust each other. I mean, there's growth that takes place in those environments that you don't get anywhere else. You really don't. It's good to have personal Bible study. It's good to have corporate worship. It's really good to have small group study too. It's just hard to replace it. Nothing else really even comes close. And we need that time. All of those times, personally, corporately, small group time, all those, they're like fertilizer. They help us to grow. They're like stakes that you prop up a tree, you know, when it's first trying to stand on its own. Small group studies sometimes, or fellowships, are like those stakes. They hold us up. One of my favorite illustrations, and you've probably heard me tell it before, is the legend of the tumbleweed. See, the tumbleweed thought that he had life figured out and life was perfect because he could just go with the wind. It was free. It was free just to go with the wind. And in a couple of days of going with the wind, and the tumbleweed figured out he wasn't free at all. He was slave to the wind. He was slave to life's circumstances. Whichever way the wind blowing, he had to go. And so the tumbleweed became envious of the plants who had roots, because the plants that had roots could put down roots, and then when the wind came, they would bend, but they wouldn't be tumbled by the wind. They could put down roots to where they could grow. They could absorb nutrition to where they could grow and be strong and stand against the wind. You see, the roots are the disciplines. They're the disciplines of the faith that are good for growth, but they're not practiced just for the sake of having something to do. They are to lead us into the presence of God. To encounter God often and encounter God in many different circumstances. You say, well, why is that important? Well, listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Translation, only God can change people. Only God can make us grow. We can't fix or force people to change or grow. We can encourage them, yes. We can put them in an environment where we think that can happen, yes. Yes, 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 all that. But no amount of teaching, Bible study, prayer, classes, or any other disciplines can change people. That's God's job. Only God can do that. And he can only do it if we're willing. He doesn't force his will on us. Only if we are willing. That's the central teaching of Jesus. in one of his last nights here before the crucifixion, he was meeting with his disciples. John chapters 14 through 16 records the story. And he's meeting with them, and he said, guys, here's the deal. I'm going to be leaving you. But that's a good thing. Because the mystery is that I and my Father am one. And when I leave, I'm going to send the Spirit back. And the Spirit is going to walk beside you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to equip you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to guide you. He's going to do all of those things. And I'm sure the disciples were sitting there going, huh? What? Well, they leave from that place and they go down through the valley. And they're on their way to Gethsemane. And they go down through the Kidron Valley or the Kidron Valley. And there's an area there in that valley. It's a very steep area that leads out of Jerusalem and down toward where the Garden of Gethsemane was. And in that area, there's a spring. And if we could walk there today, you would see probably olive groves, maybe vineyards, all that stuff gathered around the water. Natural growing area. And Jesus reinforces what he'd been trying to tell them back in the upper room. He reinforces it. John records it for us. Jesus says this to them. In that environment, consider where they are. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I am them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you get it? I hope the disciples did. I think they did. He's saying, stay connected to God's Spirit. Fruit happens naturally. You know, the branch doesn't have to be out there on the vine going, oh, please, please, make tomatoes. That's not why. It just happens naturally. Mature plants that are connected, plants that have roots down to get nutrition, plants like that produce fruit naturally. That's what Jesus is saying. But disconnected with no nutrition, nothing grows. Nothing. What Jesus is saying is that apart from God, you cannot grow into the person that God intended you to be. So you say, okay, how do we stay connected? How do we make that happen? Let me give you three short tips. The first way is through regular personal inventory. Socrates declared that the unexamined life is not worth living. Jesus taught to examine yourself, to look at your motives, look at your heart. See, examine yourself. See what behaviors need to be changed. See what attitudes need to be changed. Do it on a regular basis. We could sum it up with David's prayer in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Yeah. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That should be our prayer. Test me, Father. See my heart. Show me. Show me what I should do. Show me how I should be. But to do that, we need grace. We need grace to face reality. Because, you know, if we look at our heart, if we look at ourselves, you know, we have a fear of facing that pain or facing the judgment and condemnation of other people. If we're really honest, which is, again, is why grace is the foundation for all spiritual growth. Knowing that God doesn't condemn us, that he's for us, not against us, and that there's nothing good he wouldn't give us, allows us to open our lives before him to face reality, the good and the bad, knowing that he'll forgive us. Remember, God is the agent of change. And for those who are tempted to plan out your reformation, understand this. Don't get so wrapped up in the plan that you failed to hear God's still small voice. Don't neglect, don't ignore the Spirit as it leads you. Second, maybe we also need regular input and communication. Things like we've already talked about. Reading scripture, regular times for prayer and solitude, just where things are quiet. You know, learning to hear what God's voice sounds like. Because it's hard to say, well, you know, I'm following God's command. You know, I'm hearing his voice. Well, if you don't know what he sounds like to you, how can you follow his biddings? You do that in times of regular communication with God. Also, we'll come to know God's will. We'll come to know God's heart. So that our hearts will be prepared so in the heat of the moment, when things go crazy, when the pressure is on, that we'll respond to his spirit. In doing so, these practices are like keeping the soul watered, keeping the soul fertilized. That's what those are. Those regular input communication times with God. And the third way maybe that we can stay connected to God's spirit is by developing habit-breaking practices. See, God causes the growth when our minds are responding to his spirit. The only problem is we've kind of got an autopilot thing going on. We've gotten used to not listening to God. Amen? See, that's the hard part. I'm not sure we recognize God when he leads us, but then when he is giving us feedback, a lot of times we don't even hear it. We've gone so long doing what we do that sometimes we don't even hear or recognize God's voice. A lot of the self-help or step groups that help you get through addictions, whatever those addictions are, I was reading one that was kind of fascinating. It was talking about the fact that it took 90 meetings on 90 consecutive days to break this particular habit. The support and encouragement, 3 months, one meeting every day for 3 months to successfully begin the process of breaking that bad habit. Well, if you think about it, as church, we don't meet every day. Well, some of you up here just about every day. And, you know, we have good volunteers, a lot of you in here doing a lot of stuff during the course of the week. And thank you, bless you. But most of us aren't here every day, 90 days in a row. But the encouragement that we get when we are here, you know, don't forsake meeting together, because you miss out. You miss out on the encouragement. You miss out on the support that you need while you're trying to break bad habits. Because all of us are in process. There's important steps to growing closer in our walk. And being together helps a tremendous amount with that. Being together gives us that support. We're created for fellowship with God and with one another, as we talked about last week. So that's how people grow. That's how we do it. We plant ourselves in the right soil. We have right relationships filled with grace and authenticity. And then we're intentional about staying connected with God and with one another. And then we trust God for the growth. We trust him. You see, 5 years from now, you may look back today and say, wow, you know, something really cool started in me 5 years ago when God began doing something pretty amazing. You may not detect the subtle signs as you begin to grow, but looking back on it, you will. You'll see what God did. And you'll see that it happened naturally as you stayed connected to God and each other. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful plan God has in place. Let's commit ourselves to being more as he wants us to be and less of selfish desires. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we admit that we are selfish. You know, we kind of got our own agenda and we lay it out there and we follow it and we get numb and we become deaf to your biddings. Father, we pray that you would forgive us. We pray that you would restore us, that you would give us 20/20 vision to see what you want us to see, and that you would give us perfect hearing to hear the bidding of your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to understand that growth is intentional. It's placing ourselves before you. It's staying connected to you. Father, it's not a legalistic plan or a legalistic mandate. Father, it's an opportunity for us to become more like your Son, Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus personally, you don't have a relationship with him, that's first and foremost. I'll be here at the front when we stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't want to come down here, you want to call me this week, I'll be glad to come to you, meet you anywhere to talk about that. There's nothing that would thrill me more than to have that conversation with you. If you're here this morning, you say, I am a Christian, but I really need to plug back in. I've become a little bit disconnected, maybe with the fellowship of this congregation or with God or both. God knew you were going to be here this morning. You were going to hear this message. This is your day. You can certainly pray where you are, or the altar will be open here. You're welcome to come here as well. I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you if that's what you'd like. If you're here this morning, you would like to be a part of this fellowship by membership, I'd be certainly glad to share with you in the many ways that we receive members. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to spend time. Be serious with God as we stand and sing together now. Authentic fellowship requires some sort of communication. After the benediction and the response, I invite you to talk with one another as you leave. Encourage one another as you go from this place. If you're able to come back this afternoon, I know it would be a wonderful encouragement to Brian as he takes this important step in his life. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the blessings of today. Father, we just pray that as we go from this place, that we would truly be changed, and that we begin a process of change that only you can do through us. Father, we pray that we would be your hands and feet, that we would serve others in Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.